have also, and part of what I'm, so in answering a little bit of my own question, it would be great based on current efforts, how long it would take to get to the goals outlined in this plan, so that we have some truth in advertising with folks in terms of, I see a lot of requests here that based on, you know, my time and Coley's seem very appropriate, but many of them require additional funding. Many of them require additional funding on transportation, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get your thoughts in terms of measurements of success, the goals. Can we put these into this, you know, at a later date? And then based on current expenditures, current efforts on the city, how long would it take? How many years would it take to get is an estimate that we would be able to achieve these goals so that if we had more money, we could speed up the implementation of certain one of these. And then I guess the third question then is, what's more important than the other one here?
Mm-hmm. Great questions. I would say first off, to the third question seems almost like the first question I should answer, which is, as we're moving into implementation, we recognize that what we need to do is further prioritize the actions here, because there are, and when we initially created them with the community discussion group, we asked them to prioritize, and everything was high priority. So we need to go back and look at truly what are the ones that, based on certain criteria like, you know, readiness or certain opportunities that we're able to move forward. I think the actions also are kind of layered. There's some that the community can work on that don't have much impact to the city or Portland Public Schools, and that's great, and that can be ongoing. And we certainly do want to develop measures of success for each of these actions so that we know that we're making steps, making progress toward our goals. But I think that we need to, especially as a city, we need to determine, and we know that there's some very huge expenditure needs out here in terms of streets, sidewalks, and parks. We need to answer the tough questions of, if, you know, there was a parks bond measure, which of all the needs out here should be, you know, on the list for Culley? You know, is it a community center? Is it developing Thomas Culley Park? Is it developing two neighborhood parks, for example? And I think we need to do more work to figure out in the action item in terms of streets, we want to prioritize, you know, for example, one street that I've seem to notice all the time that would be great if it were completed is 72nd Avenue, because it connects the future Thomas Culley Park, it connects Sacagawea Park, and it heads down to Scott School. So to me, that seems like an important corridor to consider for the future, but the community does need to prioritize, you know, what are the top three transportation improvements. Then we need, yeah.
Number three.
Right.
No, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the priorities.
I mean, government can, we can try to discern what's your top one through five, or I think more appropriately, if the neighborhood needs to do that.
Right, correctly.
In our discussions with Portland Public Schools, part of what this is an action plan, and it's a new approach for us, honestly, and we need to get these commitments for the follow-through. There's names with each of these projects. But even those aren't going to all happen at once, you know, even beyond the fact that we don't have the resources to do sidewalks and streets everywhere. It's a citywide issue. That's true of a lot of these other projects. So the follow-up steps is with the partners now in this sort of more defined list to get real about what we can accomplish when, and actually working as a group, learn what pace we can actually move these things forward. And even with the Portland Public Schools, when we met with them, there's, as Doug said, there's a great deal of interest in this list of ideas. And the first question back was, help us pick the top one. Because if we pick the top one, we can really commit to trying to get through with that. So the next one of the next steps with us is, even with our sister bureaus, or specifically PPS, come up with some sort of means of prioritization and work with the communities to pick that top one that's going to be the City of Portland, Portland Public School project we try to get done first.
And then numerical definition of success measures?
That as we flesh out each of the action items, like for example with English second language, we started to in the action plan, you'll see a couple of attempts. But it needs to be, as we work with community, we need to flesh out what does it mean to be successful with adult ESL classes. Is it serving 100 more people? Is it providing transportation so that the attendance is up in existing programs? You know, what are the measures? And we need to work that as we work through the specifics of individual action items.
No, but we've heard you loud and clear about the need for these metrics. And
this one, though, you're so very, very close, closer than I've ever seen any plan in terms of this sheet here, report highlights, and the numbers that you've quoted, the trends based on current trends moving forward to 2012. I mean, you're really, really close.
Yeah.
And for those that might not have heard this dialogue before, and I know you totally agree, and coming up with these measurements are very difficult, and no city has done them in the nation incredibly well. So you're each plan we get closer and closer. So I'm not being critical, is because I know you agree with me. The one thing that I think is really important, the reason why I keep harping on this, is that we don't want to unintentionally gentrify the neighborhood. And unless we are very clear on what we mean by an improved neighborhood, we've seen neighborhoods in the city get infrastructure improvement and then go on to quickly gentrify, and the face of the neighborhood changes dramatically. So these sort of measures and being able to take the pulse very, you know, frequently gives us some year-by-year way to prevent our good intentions from getting out of control and becoming gentrification.
You know, I was recently talking with Portland State about a program that they're developing a proposal around, and Commissioner Adams and I are going to sign a letter of support for it, and that is around the issue of social sustainability. Mm-hmm. And what really impressed me with the presentations today, you folks were absolutely wonderful. The community was even more wonderful. And listening to what they were doing and how they were working together and how churches were supporting schools and businesses looking at how they can strengthen a community. Those are the kind of community building tools. But the issue, and I think Commissioner Adams got to the point, is how do we begin to measure something that hasn't been measured before? And the thing about what PSU is doing is that they're looking at developing those very tools to do that, is to be able to measure the changes in the social environment that helps create the continuance of that social environment, the sustainability of it. And so I'm really excited about the prospects for this, because I would like to see how we measure how we integrate the functions and roles of government into a community. Specifically, what are some of the things that the community could do rather than looking upon this as an investment just as by the city, but by a community investment? As the parks are built, who could help maintain them? As our schools become more community centers, how do we provide access to the schools for programs and activities that not just help educate and bring community together, but empower them to move forward in their own areas and strengthen those areas? I know that certain parts of the areas have serious gang issues. And for me, I think that when a community is strong and there's a strong relationship with the families, with the schools, with the neighborhoods, it reduces the opportunity for not just criminal behavior, but also things like gangs. And so there's a lot of ways, I think, that are going to lead to new ways of measuring success, particularly in the social area. But I think that Portland, as Commissioner Adams pointed out, Portland, I think, could really lead the way in that. You folks have done an absolutely wonderful job. I thought the East Portland plan was great. I mean, we all had our little favorite plans. I was so impressed with the community engagement at East Portland. And I'm equally impressed to see the community engagement that you have with this. It's not just a phrase. It's not about being community organizers, although I think you folks are becoming rather adept at that. But I think it's really about how do we build Portland so that everybody benefits from the success and has an opportunity to succeed. So I really am impressed with what you folks have done and this community that came in today.
Thank you.
Joe, there's so much. This is so rich, and we could spend all day, and Randy Leonard would be on my case if I did that. So he needs to get home in a decent hour, so we learned the other day.
I just need to get home so I can make it back here in the morning.
So I'd like to just focus on the Whitaker-Fernhill site. I live two neighborhoods over, and that's an area that I use a lot, partly because it's a site for soccer and partly because it's along a route that I travel a lot. And it seems like a lot of the community priorities can be addressed on that site if we get it right. And the first question I wanted to ask you to follow up on what Doug Capp said is where you have a situation now where you have parks and schools, potentially housing, and then a Concordia partner that has expressed some interest, and you have the school district saying, we don't really have the capacity to do the master planning, and we want help. Could you give us a sense of what that might look like?
On Whitaker, as you heard someone testify about, there's been a good deal of planning that's been done. And Concordia has done their planning. There's been housing proposals from other groups. So the physical planning piece of that, figuring out, and we do have a situation where there's more ideas and aspirations that can fit on the site. So there's some real choices. There's a physical planning part of it, but it's really structuring a process by which we can evaluate these choices. And in doing that, push each of the different sort of ideas towards win-wins, incorporating more of not just a single type of use or an approach. A recreation facility, as you heard, Concordia is also aware of the need for commercial there. How do we get both of those? We've got a park, and the whole theme in this plan is about joint use facilities, community facilities, so how whatever we do there gets a piece of that. And there's still the open question of a new school or not. And we're ready to participate on a process where we try to sort through those choices when it's ready, the right time for Portland Public Schools. We would all be spinning our wheels. There's until PPS is really ready and understands their system needs for the site. And they weren't there when we started this process because they were still doing the system-wide evaluation of their facilities. Not sure they're still there yet, but we're prepared to join with them when they are.
So let's just for argument's sake say that decision might not be made for a year. That decision is obviously the linchpin for all the other pieces. I mean, on Whitaker. I mean, someone has referred to the Rosa Parks model. Well, you can't even begin to think about that unless you know that you're starting with an elementary school for which you have the funds, and then possibly a tie-in to another community need that was identified, after-school programs, child care programs. There's your Boys and Girls Club or something else. And then there's a high priority that I take out of this report for a community center. It's been a historically park deficient area. They don't have the community center. There's a way to put those together in a very interesting way. And the city did that at the New Columbia. I mean, it was sort of a pioneering partnership. But I understand that the linchpin is the school, and the school decision, as we heard, is based on community discussions in part about whether Fabian is replaced on site or relocated, and that's really a community conversation that the school district will have. But at the point that they've made a decision, the pieces then, they're interesting pieces, and we've now heard from the community what they want. So I have just a couple questions about what the options are that we could be considering. And one is, could you just tell us again what the zoning is at the Whitaker site with respect to any housing play?
The zoning there is single-family residential. There's no commercial zoning, so we would need to, if we wanted with a proposal for mixed use, we would have to adjust the zoning. But it's single-family, either R5 or, I believe, R2.5.
Okay. That's important.
And on a site like that, it may be potential for more housing than that, but so it's not just the base residential zoning if you wanted to go down a path where you considered more.
Right.
So that's the zoning piece. The related piece is the policy question. If you did go down the road of housing, what kind of housing? And I want to just make clear that the record's clear that the school district has weighed in on that question and has declared that home ownership opportunities would be the preferred use. But this council has not acted on that. So that's still an open question. Is that correct?
I don't think that there's any adopted city policy on the future of that that at that level. There was a community process a number of years ago that I think is in part where PPS is coming from, but there's no adopted city policy.
The school board adopted the plan for the Whitaker school site from a report dated, I think it was 2003. And as Doug said, it was market rate housing that they were endorsing.
Market rate housing.
Correct.
But the city has not weighed in on that particular policy choice.
Have not.
The other thing I just wanted to identify, and I'm probably a broken record on this, but you know, the Fernhill Park is now used extensively for after-school programs, particularly around sports. And any given time, there's soccer going on, there's other sports. And we do have, to the north of the Whitaker site, you do have a track and a field. And my understanding is the track was rehabilitated in part from money from a Catholic high school that has some kind of use agreement with Portland Parks. Mm-hmm. So they have some access to that. Mm-hmm. But there's a field in between in the track that could be upgraded and used for more purposes. And I just want to acknowledge that yesterday the Grant High School men's soccer team was here, and they don't really have a soccer field. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues that I think would be interesting for the community to consider, particularly as Mayor-elect Adams has mentioned, in a time of constrained resources, is there potentially a way to use that site to create a field that would be accessible to both Madison and Grant for purposes of some kind of use? Because it's an existing field. Across the street is largely commercial. The discussion around a new field at Grant has run into some opposition and some concern. So I just want to plant that seed that it is potentially an option to get at the 10 great fields that we already have in our backyard and that would just need to be upgraded.
Thank you.
I appreciate, I think those comments are by Commissioner Fisher really useful. I mean, I guess I'm sitting here thinking how best I can move forward with the community and city agencies and others in trying to move forward these recommendations. I do think that I'd encourage you to look strongly in the neighborhood, to look strongly at an entrepreneurial approach. This isn't a tax increment district. You probably don't want to accommodate the kind of density that it would take for a tax increment district in this neighborhood to work. I don't think you would, but maybe I'm wrong. So in terms of the kinds of answers to the kinds of questions that Commissioner Fish is raising, you know, how can we be entrepreneurial? I mean, the adult businesses at that particular location are there in part because the owners of those buildings get the highest rent from those kinds of businesses. So how do we make that more valuable? Well, one way is additional density. So you might not accept the kind of density required for a tax increment district to work there, but would you accept additional density so that you had more range of customers that would, that would be interested in shopping, more people willing to shop in the neighborhood? What is the relative density of what you studied compared to the rest of the city?
I would have to look at the report to get the specifics, but in general, just my observation of knowing my district in the city is that it's very average in terms of density and actually even a little bit more suburban in nature because of the big lots. Again, it was one of the areas like East Portland that was annexed into the city in the mid-80s, and you have larger lots. There's residential 7,000 zoning, residential 5,000 square foot zoning for most of the neighborhood, at least in Cully. Mm-hmm. And even the high density in the neighborhood is residential 2,000 on Killingsworth Street, which for multi-dwelling residential is not high density. It's medium density. So
again, this is a partnership. I just laid out there for the neighborhood to consider, you know, the very scrappy 42nd Avenue Business Association, you know, hangs on the bowling alley and such. I mean, there's opportunity there, you know, to upzone potentially on 42nd Avenue. And you'd improve the opportunities for more commercial and mixed use. So I just think we need to be very honest with these folks. And at the same time, being really creative about how to come up with sort of entrepreneurial approaches to move forward on their very legitimate concerns.
And I think the beauty of this project and the community building is the partnerships, again, and the ability of partnerships to generate, you know, opportunities to achieve the goals that are there. So, yes, I agree.
Further questions? Thank you, folks. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, really great work. Really fantastic work, both from a substantive point of view, the report, the clarity of the report, and I also want to thank the public, neighborhood, private partners, school districts. Really great work. You have my commitment to continue to partner with you to do everything we can to move forward as fast as we can on the priorities that you've mentioned. So onward. Aye.
Fish.
This is, as the mayor said, the best plan that has been presented to me, certainly while I've been on the council, which isn't very long, but this sets the bar very high. I appreciate the briefings we got in our office and the follow-through and your presentation today, and it takes community-based planning to a new level. And I've been spending some time. It's funny, once upon a time you had to be from Northeast Portland to be on this council, but I will be the only member of this council from Northeast Portland as of January 1st. This is sort of my backyard, and I spent a lot of time. And Debbie, I'm following your steps somewhere along there. So you seem to be everywhere, and I compliment you for the work you do in the community. You know, this community has struggled for years with substandard infrastructure and poor quality housing, overcrowded schools, and limited commercial retail activity. And the recent Oregonian article that someone referred to, I think it was Kathy, may have been you, about the family that takes a four-hour bus ride to shop for groceries once a month at the Winco in Clackamas County. And by the way, I think the story was $150 a month for the entire month of food and budget. Because there aren't any affordable options, is symbolic of a larger cluster of problems that people deal with. And every part of Portland deserves basic infrastructure and services, regardless of income level, ethnic makeup, or history. I really want to applaud the efforts and the good work of the Planning Bureau working with a consultant to do public outreach in what is admittedly a different way, a new way, conducting interviews and focus groups with a broader way of stakeholders and really getting at the roots of the challenges this neighborhood faces and capturing hopes and visions for the future. My personal vision is to play whatever constructive role I can to see that the old Whitaker Adams Middle School site is redeveloped in a way that is responsive to a number of the community priorities that have been identified. And as Commissioner Adams has noted, we are in a time of limited resources, so we have to be very creative about how we do it. But thanks to the council that I joined and the work of the school district, we have models of how to do it, where we can work collaboratively with other partners and share the load. In addition to the very real challenges this area faces, there are also signs that things are getting better. And I, too, want to just acknowledge the business owners from Wiltham and Dickey to Delfina's along the 42nd Avenue who are really very spunky and have pulled themselves together to form a group and have great dreams for their district. I spent some time recently with Hacienda, particularly on Killingsworth, looking at their properties and some opportunities. And I will just tell you that Hacienda and all of our nonprofit partners are struggling in this current economic environment, and the city is considering all kinds of creative ways to help our nonprofit partners during this economic storm. Concordia College, which is such a great community partner, is looking to be to potentially have a site at the Whitaker site, but to continue its work, making a better community. And I'm very pleased that Doug Capps was here today to express very clearly that the school district is not only open but committed to working collaboratively with all the partners for the best possible outcome at the Whitaker site. You know, a wide variety of community groups participated in this planning effort, and they see this plan as a roadmap for transforming Cully and Concordia into a truly livable community. And I want to close by quoting from Lisa Gamby, the Ainsworth Collective organizer, and the letter that we received at council, where she said, quote, "This plan provides an overarching blueprint for the entire community to follow, increasing the effectiveness of individual stakeholders by getting everyone pulling in the same direction. Rather than duplicating efforts, we can build synergy among groups to get things accomplished. This plan offers an asset map, as she called it, at the wider neighborhood level. I think it succinctly and beautifully states what has been accomplished. And I thank her for her letter. And Joe and Deborah and Debbie from planning, congratulations for really a terrific job. And thanks to all the citizens from Cully and Concordia neighborhood. As a candidate, I also was the beneficiary of time from many of you to help me understand some of the concerns, and I still have a long way to go to fully understand, but this document, I think, is enormously helpful to our council. Congratulations, and we look forward to working with you going forward to implement this wonderful work. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, while Commissioner Fish is technically correct that he is the only one that lives in Northeast Portland, those of us that were born and raised there and went to Grant School always are from Northeast Portland. My friends and I from Grant still have lunch once a month at Sam's down in Hollywood. And when somebody says, where are we from? We're from Northeast Portland, whether we live in Oregon or not. So I do have a deep connection to Cully and always have. And I've very much enjoyed working with Kathy over the years and others. In improving Cully, I have to say, to echo the mayor's remarks and Commissioner Fish's and Adam's remarks, I actually stood out to me when I met with Debbie Bischoff in my office how passionate she was about this plan. I don't think I said that at the time, but I love working with people who work for the city who have a passion for what they do and a visceral connection. And she's clearly, and not just a 8-to-5 person who's doing her job, she believes in this work, and it 7 to 10? I'm sorry, 7 to 10, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So you have a really good combination of interests and passion advocating for this plan, and it makes it enjoyable to participate from here. And just doing the small thing that I have to do, and that's just to vote aye.
Seltzman.
Well, I want to thank everybody for their participation in this great action plan. I like things that are called action plans. And I think there's a lot of good specifics in this. I particularly like a lot of the things related to schools, housing, early childhood development, and the linkages that are seen there. Certainly having better parks and community centers. Speaking for the Parks Bureau, we are actively pursuing opportunities to acquire land in this area, as many of you know, and we do have the funds to purchase should such a site become available, or sites. But this is a great port. I think that we use a lot of different things that are important to this community, this emerging community, and its cohesiveness together, and it's a great document. And I do want to also recognize, I think, what a huge success, I think, Debbie Bischoff and Deborah Stein represent in terms of the decision this council made and under Gil Kelly's direction to establish neighborhood planners or district planners. I'm not sure what the right title is, but, just when Debbie a few minutes ago referred to it as my area, that's just that possessiveness shows obviously in the quality of this product, but also I think in the type of attachment that we want city government to invest in its neighborhoods and its communities. So great work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Potter.
There's a lot of superlatives being passed around, but, the funny thing is that they're all deserved. And I want to start with the Planning Bureau. Being in charge of the Planning Bureau, I've been very impressed with the growth of the Planning Bureau in terms of how they do the job. And, Joe, you said that it's really doing things differently, and it truly is. And I think that Debbie and her team reflect that, but they need that kind of leadership, and it is being given to them through you and to Gil and others. So I'm really, really happy to see where you folks are headed. If you can do half as well in the Portland plan, you're going to be superstars. And to the community, you are superstars. I'm just so impressed with the quality of the people. I think back to what Tony Fuentes said earlier about that it's the people have been there the whole time, but we need to be able to give them the tools, the support, the connections, the ability to come up and build a community that they know exists. Cully and Concordia have good bones, and it's the people that are the good bones. The structure is there. We just need to make sure that we build on that. You've got wonderful groups. Concordia is a true treasure and gem of this city, and particularly in the neighborhood of Concordia and Cully. Every time I talk to them, I hear new things that they're doing, that they want to do, about a health clinic, about a field that could be used by the community, by a host of things. A simple thing like making sure that when they built their library, that they had doors on the outside facing the community so the community could use the library too. That's the kind of thinking that I think is really going to turn Portland around in terms of how we do things here, how we engage the community. So, you know, this is it's a great gift that has been developed. And I say gift because I consider what has happened as very special and something that you would think that this plan should be under a Christmas tree instead of out on a table here. Because it's really going to change, I think, how we do business, how we engage people, and how we give more people a chance to succeed, to be successful, and to realize the American dream. It's so simple. And I'm so pleased. I vote aye. Thank you, folks, so much. I think that we could proceed with the 3 o'clock. Is that okay, Commissioner Leonard?
That's fine. But it's 3 o'clock. Shorten them down a little. Sorry. I get
this thing at 3.
Nick, I get carried away, and I just can't stop. Patience with me. I'm working on it.
By the way, we remember you finally. Yeah. You know and we still think you have a lot.
Interloper. Interloper.
Good folks, if you could go outside to continue your conversations, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
20, 21, 22, 20, 21, 22, 18.
Run by Georgine DeMore.
It's a bar.
No, it's a restaurant, and they serve great. They serve a great lunch.
We do the Volunteers of America.